The Piano Matters is a production of the Classical Network and is supported in part by listeners like you. Become a member at WWFM.org. Thank you.
David Duvall, and it is The Piano Matters. It matters in the lives of so many people because the piano literature gives solace to so many people. And do we need that in these really, really difficult times? Let's hope that the next year, our year now, starts improving. But The Piano Matters sails forward, and we will be giving you more Chopin today. If you're hearing me with the voice a little bit off center, it's because this is being done by Zoom. Well, one of these days, Rachel and I will be doing it again together, and I hope that the voice is on beam. I've had a few people talk about that. So don't worry about my voice or my vocal cords. They're all there. I'm singing as well as Mario Lanza lately. We have, a nice show. We haven't had as many recordings available as possible because of the pandemic and getting them from the station and my own collection, which is rather vast in the Chopin literature. We're going to start today with the Berlioz Opus 57. And that means it's about 1840. Chopin is, believe it or not, an old man as a composer. He's 30 years old. Think of it. This work is one of the most extraordinary things. The filigree, the ornamentation, all based on a ground base of the exact same chord in D flat. And you will hear a melody of such exquisite beauty. It's a cradle song, but someone said it's a cradle song for a royal baby. Well, I don't want to get into class distinctions, but here is Guillermo Novais, the angel really of Brazilian pianism. Guiomara Novais, who is not doing well as a pianist in our time. Her records are not selling much. When she died in, let's say, 1980, she was possibly the most famous South American, certainly, pianist, and she had a major American career from 1919. Yet after her death, as can be with many composers as well, there's an eclipse. However, what we're doing today is continuing her legacy, and we heard her in a, I thought, very beautiful performance of the Berceau. She plays at times with a feminine artistry that is so unique, so sensitive. Well, you heard a piece that is beyond analysis. It's so tight and so, well, you know what I mean. The piano matters to me, and I think matters to the people that have been so loyal to me during the 11 years that I've been with WWFM, a station I'm so proud to be associated with. And I want you to help us out. We need you. And I know you know that. And I know you have contributed what you can. But remember, when you hear something that touches you so deeply, it comes from us. It comes from our heart, our knowledge. And thank us with your small amount, or if you won the lottery, with your big amount. So send it to WWFM.org and just press that button called donate. We're going to hear Maurizio Pollini, born in Milan in 1941 or two. He's still at it, as he should be, and he's recorded all the Polonaises. I like the recording. He's always special, but this one I think he's at his best, the Polonaise in E flat minor, Opus 26, number 2. It's the second of the actual master opuses of Chopin. And he had done posthumous ones in his youth. But this is a masterpiece, often called the Siberian Revolt. And what it means really is that Russia got into his nostrils, so to speak. And he's upset. He's upset because Poland means everything to him, especially after he left. It had just haunted him his whole life, the idea that he was away from the homeland. Listen to this great ceremonial dance turned into art by Chopin in one of the great Polonaises, E flat minor. You may not even know it. It's so rather underplayed. Maurizio Pollini in a piece that just rocks me. I mean, it's a nerve-wracking work. And I think you heard that, and I think that Pollini gets a great deal out of it. Who plays this better? I don't know. I don't care for the Rubinstein. I don't care for many performances of it. There's only one that if you want to go to find it, you should. It's Smoke-Filled. It's by Joseph Hoffman. This is the Piano Matters, and I'm so glad to be with you. We're doing an all Chopin program, as we are hopefully going to go through all 169 works eventually. And as our recordings in number improve, there'll be more and different pianists. Of course, John Field, the Irish composer, wrote the first nocturnes, and they have a languid and beautiful quality. And Chopin took them up, and he wrote 19, and those 19 are so beautiful that we never really hear Field's any longer, comparatively speaking. We have an early piece in B major, Nocturne, Opus 9, number 3, and it is, to me, extraordinary. It's almost like a little mystic tune that goes into a very violent middle section, and it's played by a very gentle pianist, basically, in my opinion, Wilhelm Kempf. Thank you. Nocturne in B major, opus 9, number 3, the first opus that he produced nocturnes. And it's a lovely work, don't you think so? Wilhelm Kempff, the great German pianist. Number 4 that I have today in the lineup and in the batting order is the Waltz in A-flat. Well, it's a slight work. No, it's not slight. It's one of the waltzes that we can call a waltz poem. And it has a subtitle, Opus 69, which means it's after the last opus. It's published after his death. And the farewell, the l'adieu, is a farewell to the young woman that he had proposed to and was really on the borderline of engagement. Her name was Maria Wodzinska, and she was from a very aristocratic Polish family, and he was going to marry her. There was no doubt about it. And then they seemed to decide against him. They said, well, his ill health is not a good idea. Oh, he lives in Paris. I don't know what we're going to do about that. She was quite a landowner, her family in Poland. And I think he was not unpleased with possibly marrying a very wealthy woman. But they dumped him. He was, let's face it, he was a peasant compared to this aristocratic family. And he saved her letters, and after death, in his death, they saw them bound up, and he said on them with a little note, "My sorrow." I think he always retained a great affection for her. Very talented girl. One of the finest portraits of Chopin is a pencil portrait by her. So that's the end of that. He writes this for her, and she holds it in her album the whole of her life. Listen to Horowitz play this, a live performance, the Waltz in A-flat.
Thank you.
And that was it. Horowitz playing it very beautifully with that sound that remains in the bones. It was called the Les Adieux Waltz, the Farewell Waltz, meaning that it was composed for this first great love of his that almost became a marriage. Let's continue with Horowitz. He loved the Black Key Etude. I'll never forget he was practicing it when I came to visit him for the first time. He sat down, he played this piece for me. He didn't even know who I was, really. Basically, he didn't really know my name. I was there to interview him for what would be called Conversations with Horowitz, which would win the Peabody Award. And I was very pleased with that. And he was practicing this, and he looked up at me, he said, no good. I'm too old. I'm just too old. I don't have the zip. I said, Mr. Horowitz, please. It was extremely good. What are you talking about? Do it again, I said. Well, that's an old trick that I have always used because you know that you're going to always play it a little better the second time. So he played it, and it was really much better. He looked up at me, and he said, maybe I'm not so old. And that was his Black Key Etude introduction in my life. Let's listen to him play this piece in G-flat major on the black keys. And it's so much fun to practice, but it's perilous. There we have it, the little Black Key Etude of Chopin from Opus 10. And as we know, those etudes explore in each piece a different piano problem in technique. Returning to Maurizio Pollini, I met him only once and I interviewed him. And believe it or not, I lost the interview. We're going to hear the Raindrop Prelude, the longest of the preludes, number 15 in the right key of D flat. You're going to hear the rarity called a middle section. Most of his preludes do not have that. And it's not his title, but it became that because of the pounding of a certain note in the middle section. And you'll hear one of his wonderful nocturne type melodies. Here it is, Maurizio the Great. Thank you. The Raindrop Prelude in the hands of Pollini, the Golden Hands. Scherzo in B minor. It's a work that's filled with Chopin is irritated. He's unhappy. It's an extremely amazing work for 1834, and it's a beautiful middle section. He actually uses a Polish folk theme, which is a rarity, and it's called Sleep, Jesus, Sleep, and it's a beauty. And then we go back to this thorny scherzo itself, very ironic, and then it goes into this heated coda. I love this work. I think it's played very well, I think, by a man called Yundi Lee. Thank you. just heard the B minor scherzo of Frédéric Chopin, poet of the piano, in an early work, and yet it's so mature in every way, especially the gorgeous writing of the middle movement. Played very well, I thought. Sofia Agranovich. Last week we heard her in various pieces. Today, only in a small one, the second movement of the great sonata in B minor, Opus 58, by Frédéric Chopin, of course. And it's a difficult work for the fingers. It's a true bubbling scherzo, but then falls down into a real, very recondite trio. And then back home, it's an ABA form, and it's played by a woman who loves this sonata, Sofia Agranovich. So what did you think of it? There are people that play it faster and sometimes much too fast. I think that in every piece, Sofia Agranovich knows exactly the conception she wants. And you heard the second movement from the third sonata of Chopin, the last work he wrote at Nohant, George Sand's estate, in 1843. So we've completed our Chopin program today. I hope very much you've enjoyed it. I want to end with a couple of quotes. One of them shows you that not everyone loves the piano. Do you know the Devil's Dictionary by Ambrose Bierce? Well, he says, for piano, he says, a noun, a parlor utensil for subduing the impenitent visitor. It is operated by pressing the keys of the machine and the spirits of the audience. This guy was most interesting, and get the Devil's Dictionary. It's worth reading. Then let's have a quote from Busoni, who says quite the opposite. Take it for granted from the beginning that everything is possible on the piano, even when it seems impossible to you or really is so. This is David Dubal. Thank you for listening.
Piano Matters is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network. The associate producer and engineer is Rachel Katz. For a complete playlist, log on to wwfm.org and click on Playlist. The Piano Matters is made possible in part from the support of the listener members of WWFM, the Classical Network.